Hello, and welcome back to the Type Theory Commute. I'm Aaron Stump, and we are talking about simply typed lambda calculus. And it's just a great setting where a lot of interesting issues show up that are relevant for more complicated theories. And lots of questions that, there's still research advances being made to this day in understanding just the simply typed lambda calculus. So it's a pretty rich system. And we recently talked about arithmetic in simply typed lambda calculus and the sort of surprising fact that you can type addition, multiplication, and exponentiation, but not really, you can't really go beyond that. I'm not offering to prove of that or anything, but typing exponentiation makes it so that you can't actually iterate exponentiation. So you sort of stall out there. And it actually fits with the upper bound on the length of reductions, like how long does it take a simply type term to reach a normal form that is bounded by a tower, exponential tower of height, the size of the term. And so, in fact, it's really a cool tie-in to see where, the fact that addition iterates successor, multiplication iterates addition, exponentiation iterates multiplication, but the typing starts to get funky and it starts to change. Like you have to type exponentiation with a somewhat different type, which means you can't iterate exponentiation. Totally, neat stuff. And stuff that's not like, I'm not sharing with you like any research updates or anything. This is in a sense known, but I bet you not that many people are really that aware of this. Anyway, talking about, upper bounds for reduction sequence length and stuff like that. One of the really important properties of simply typed lambda calculus shared with many typed lambda calculi is normalization. So every term that you can type in simply typed lambda calculus will reach a normal form in a finite number of steps. In fact, you have this nice bound on it, this exponential tower as a bound for the number of steps. Now, how do we prove that? How do we prove that every term that you can type in simply typed lambda calculus is normalizing? And this is kind of, this is a really important question. I mean, it's a totally interesting theoretical question. Computer science from its earliest days was concerned with termination. I mean, just look at, Alan Turing's work on proving undecidability of the halting problem. Termination was considered right from this early, proto-computer science period. And why did that guy never win a Turing Award? So normalization is an important theoretical question. It's also a really practical question for type theories, as you know, perhaps from hearing other episodes or learning about this stuff. With the Curry-Howard isomorphism, our programs are proofs, and diverging programs would be logically unsound proofs. Like if you have an induction that doesn't use the induction hypothesis, in a legal way, that corresponds to a diverging computation. So anyway, so making sure that everything normalizes is critical for type theories that, you intend to use as logics under Curry-Howard. If you don't want to, if you don't want to use them as logics, then it's fine. Type systems don't need to enforce termination. And typed programming languages like Haskell and OCaml definitely do not enforce termination. They want you to be able to write any program you want. They want to be a Turing-complete language. Of course, their type systems will reject some programs and just say you can't write that because the type system is doing something else. In type theory, the type system basically is there to enforce termination, but in programming language, it's there to prevent certain kinds of bugs. So let's go back to normalization for simply typed lambda calculus. Now, how do you prove that? So I want to talk about this over the next maybe one, two episodes more or so. And the thing I want to share with you, I want to share a little story. Back when I was teaching at the University of Iowa, well, I can preface that saying I'm actually done teaching at the University of Iowa because I just had my last classes this last week. The week before this one now. And I still work there until July 1st when I'm going to work for Boston College. Anyway, Back when I was teaching at the University of Iowa, I taught a class on lambda calculus or that incorporated lambda calculus. And I remember thinking, because I knew that termination for type systems, for advanced type systems, was a difficult matter, could be a serious technical challenge. But I also knew that simply type lambda calculus was much simpler than that. And so I remember assigning a grad student in the class, like, hey, you know, or maybe not assign, but suggesting as a like a mid-semester project or some kind of project, you know, why don't you learn about, you know, give us a proof of normalization for simple type lambda calculus. We know it's going to be easy, you know, and it is easy, but little did I appreciate at that point that while it's very easy to prove simply type lambda calculus is normalizing, it's not so easy to do that using a measure function where you want to say, compute some quantity from a term, like a number or something else in some well-founded ordering. What's well-founded ordering again? Well, that just means like you've got some set of values and there's some ordering on the values that cannot get smaller forever. So you know, showing that simply type lambda calculus normalizes by explicitly computing a value for any simply typed term where those values are then going to decrease. In fact, this is like a totally interesting little research story. In fact, it's known how to do that to prove normalization. Now, normalization means, now we're going to get picky in some of these details of these definitions. Normalization means that every term has a normal form. That means that there is some way to reduce the term to normal form. But it doesn't mean that always, you know, because remember, lambda calculus is not deterministic. There can be many different redexes, many different, you know, anonymous functions applied to arguments appearing in terms, and which one to choose next, the lambda calculus doesn't tell you just by itself. You know, specific reduction strategies, they call them, that will tell you, oh, you know, you should always reduce the leftmost redex, or you should always reduce this or that particular redex. But just basic, you know, lambda calculus doesn't tell you which redex to reduce. And so it's actually not very hard to prove normalization with a measure function, but to prove termination. Now, termination is the property that says every reduction sequence is going to lead to a normal form. To prove termination in simply type lambda calculus with a measure function, you know what? That was only shown in 2023. I was surprised. And there's a lovely paper. I'll link in the show notes when we get to this. I don't think I'm going to talk about this today much more than this overview. But there's a paper from 2023, Formal Structures for Computation and Deduction, FSCD. And this paper is the first to give a measure that decreases for all reduction sequences. What I want to talk through with you, and I've studied the paper a little bit. I don't have a full grasp of it yet, but I think that might be good to talk about. In an episode here. But just to prove normalization, that's actually, I know how to explain that, and that's quite manageable to show that there is some reduction sequence to a normal form. And actually, some of the insights into this problem go back to, wait for it, Alan Turing, which I definitely didn't know either. Anyway, this is kind of what's coming up next in the next few episodes, is talking about proofs of normalization. And in particular, it'd be nice to talk about ones where they use measure functions, because that's kind of this interesting technical wrinkle, and surprising that that is actually a new result to prove termination using a measure. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. I hope you are well wherever you are. And as always, shoot me a line. There is a Telegram group for this podcast, and I will put that back in the show notes as well, because, you know, if that's another way to communicate with me. It's not active right now. Nobody's chatting on there, but in the past, there's been some chatter on there that you'd be welcome to join in if you want, or shoot me an email. As always, my UIowa email is still good to go for another year, so you can do aaron-stump@uiowa.edu. All right, take care.